Welcome on into our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. It is August the 20th, just 10 days away from them LSU Tigers kicking off. And getting ready for the Saints preseason finale on Saturday at noon. Definitely takes used to saying Saturday at noon. We've been talking about that, how it's you haven't seen a Saints preseason game that early ever on a Saturday.
No, it's usually been what, Saturday night, Friday night. We've had a lot of night preseason games, but while we getting acclimated to having these noon kickoffs, so might as well start in preseason, you know.
Talk about getting acclimated. We had a practice in the Superdome we were at today, and the air conditioning definitely working in there.
Yes. I was like, we doing the presser, man, I'm cold. I said, and I started thinking to myself, why am I complaining about being cold?
Right. It's so can't hot complain outside. About that.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
So, yeah, the Dome AC is working, folks. No worries there. And we have a little bit of breaking news, Cajun Cannon.
Breaking news.
The Saints have made a trade for that big body wide receiver.
Yeah, big body wide receiver. And he is big body, 6'5", 210. He's going to stand out in that wide receiver. When he's standing around everyone, you won't miss him because they ain't had nobody near 6'5".
Devon Valet.
Devon Valet. We like those Utes. Bob, what are you talking about, Utes?
Utah.
Yeah, Utah Utes. And we like our Mormons, too. We got Taysom Hill and all. And now, so, hey, he's a great guy in the locker room. And, Steve, didn't you say that when he walked on at Utah or something?
Boy, he was a walk-on at Utah, yeah.
The late bloomer. And that's kind of like, you know, Mickey Loomis and Sean. I don't know if Sean throwing us a bone.
Had served 2 years at a mission, right.
Yeah, so a very mature individual, I would say.
27, 6'5", 210, like you mentioned.
Yeah, but Steve, looking at last year.
From the Denver Broncos, by the way. So.
Yeah, coming from Denver, Sean Payton and Mickey, that relationship they have, wheeling and dealing. But look at his production last year, 41 receptions, 475 yards, almost 12 yards, 12-yard average per reception, 3 touchdowns. Now, this caught my attention, that his success rate, 64% was the highest among the Broncos wide receivers last year. So you look at Evan Engram, the tight end, Marvin Mims Jr., Cortland Sutton. So you look, okay, who's catching passes from Bo Nix? Well, the highest success rate was him. So what was he in, Sean's doghouse or something, or what?
You'll like this, too. Luke Johnson from NOLA.com put this out, Bobby. 11 of his 12 catches last year on third down moved the chains.
Well, maybe that's probably the success rate.
Chains.
I guess that's where that success rate comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can mismatch and you like that size. So, yeah, we've been asking for the Houdat Nation. We've been asking for a big body receiver, and we have that in Devon Valet.
Only big guy to catch the ball really right now on the roster besides Valet was, you would say, a tight end in Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, receiver who turned a tight end is going to be a major target. Now, Charlie, is it Valet or Valet or what?
Valet.
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 Instead of Filet.
Like Pele, but Valet.
Instead of like Filet Gumbo, Valet, so.
So we'll be seeing him soon. It's kind of funny. We just played the Jacksonville Jaguars, made a trade with them. We're about to play the Denver Broncos and now make a trade with them as well. And going to Denver, reports are from Adam Schefter, at least the compensation. Next year, a fourth-round selection, and in 2027, a seventh-round selection to Denver.
Well, you know, you got to give up something to get something. And so you think Mickey called Sean or Sean called Mickey or what? But you can't say that because based on his production, is like I'm sure Sean would tell him, well, he's not even going to make our team. No, he produced last year. So then I said, what about how do you feel, Sean? How do you feel about this guy? Devon, how are or, well, what are you going to give up for him? You know,
right.
That wheeling and dealing that goes on. So, yeah, we won't see him against his former team, the Broncos, but when is he ready to play? Because you got to know your plays. And, you know, you can limit it to, down and distance and whatever. And if you're a pro, he's a pro. You could be ready to produce against the Cardinals certain packages, given the opportunity. He's not overwhelmed now. He's young, going into his second year out of Utah. So, but, hey, we wanted to address the big wide receiver. And so be interested to see But now we're really first going to see him as fans, though, and everybody is going to be like in a real game. It's not like, oh, I saw him in practice. You know, he was awesome.
How long do you think it would be for a guy to coming from, you know, another team to adjust to a new scheme?
Well,
and a playbook.
The routes are the same, yes, the right. Terminology. But, yeah, they could give you to be ready week one, like down and distance, these certain packages. Okay, we want you to know these plays and what's your assignment. He could do that. We have like a bye before the season starts. I mean, it's not like the regular season is starting Sunday and we just got him. No, he'll have enough time. And I'm sure he has good work ethic. So, it'll be interesting to see. They might expect him to contribute in that first game from day one.
Yeah, the Saints, we've mentioned so many times, they've got the speed, just didn't have that tall presence, that tall physical guy around in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, those contested catches, a 50-50 ball type thing. And, it came out, that's a great catch. You know, and Chris Olave made a nice catch today. Remember I told you about the late eyes?
Good placement, nice catch. Yeah,
he didn't high point the ball, but he did late eyes, so it was a great pass and a great catch. Because the coverage wasn't that bad. But see, this type of receiver, when you're 6'5 and all that, it's like you almost, like, you know, you see basketball alley-oop or like a rebound. Like Jimmy Graham, Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham, how he'd hit him. Like throw him open.
No, I know. I was going to go right there because you always said that. Throw the guy open. Go
yeah,
get it.
And then the cornerback, he don't have eyes behind his head. So whether you're beating him, let's say, bump and run on a fade route, or if he's overplaying the fade, then you could back shoulder him. You know, you have a big range. It's not like you have a bigger target to throw to, so you should be accurate as whoever's the quarterback, whether it's Rattler or Shuck.
So Devon Vallée, welcome to the Black and Gold.
Vallée, you sound like a French,
he'll
guy
fit right in, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, we're saying it right.
Yeah, we talked about the PR. If Rattler is the guy playing, well, we got to get on that big screen in the dome. Just get like a big picture,
a
rattlesnake.
Yeah, the tail.
A Diamondback and. Shaking the thing. Anytime Rattler makes a good play, I don't know, that'd be good.
And then you have game day giveaways, giving out rattles to everybody.
Yes. And is that a fake noise maker, though? You can't have those to enhance the noise. But fans would get out of control with that. somebody say, get that rattle away
well,
from
then
him.
They'll just start bringing rattles in if they're not giving them away.
Hey, we would welcome that right now. Spencer Rattler's the guy, and he's doing great. We'll definitely...
We'll get more into Bobby's notebook after the break. Also, the WWL Sound Bank. You'll hear from head coach Kellen Moore as well as the Rattler. Spencer Rattler spoke in the locker room. We'll get some of his audio. Be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Well, welcome on a new receiver to the Black and Gold. Devon Vallée is now a member of the Saints after they give up a 2026 fourth round pick and a 2027 seventh rounder to the Denver Broncos. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, tweeted the fact that there were times last season when Vallée reminded Broncos head coach Sean Payton of his former Saints wide receiver Marcus Colston. Vallée now headed to New Orleans, and if he can play anything like Colston, the Saints will be thrilled.
Well, but the first thing that comes to mind, like, Charles, we're all talking, if he's like Colston, why would Sean Payton let him go?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's not looking at the glass half full. Well, if he can all of a sudden... Because, you know, Colston got off to a slow start. That was more OTAs in minicamp than training camp. Well, when it clicked, it clicked. So, but he is old. What do you mean, Bob? It's only his second year in the NFL, but, you know, all those Mormons.
He'll be 28 in December.
Yeah, they go on their mission. You know, they got to go witness and try and convert people to become a Mormon. So, but they're usually great individuals. Look at Taysom Hill. You can't find a better person than him. So, but... Really, when you, let's say you're starting out and you're playing, and, you know, you never, like, hit your peak at when you're a rookie or even your second year. But the age-wise, no, this is kind of like Charlie, remember you were saying, 27, 28? Yeah, you better get it while you can out of him right now because that's really...
This is the prime.
Yeah, from a physical standpoint, almost. Right. That I know, like, you know, when you feel confidence when you're playing... And the season 87, I was like 27 years old, winning, you know, 12 games that year. But like, to me, the peak is like late 20s, depending on the position you play, but for sure like your late 20s, like 27, 28, 29. So, Charlie, we might be able to get 3 years out of it, you know.
I mean, who knows what that fourth round pick is going to turn into, guys. That's kind of the premium asset of this deal, I think.
Yeah, that definitely seems a little steep for the Saints to be giving up a fourth and seventh rounder for this guy, who was a seventh round pick last year.
That means he's playing for us.
That where I was going to go right next to you. You read my mind, Cannon. The wide receiver room, you look, you feel like solidly. You got Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. I would think Brandon Cooks. We've also seen good things from Mason Tipton, and now you add in this guy you traded for with Devon Valet. What does that leave the rest of the guys?
What did they guarantee Brandon Cooks? You know, because that to me, I would take Tipton over Brandon Cooks right now just because he's younger. And look at the upside, the practices he's had, and then what he's actually, produced in the last two games. And, you know, the one thing Brandon Cooks, he's been steady, but he's played for so many different teams. But he made NFL history, you know, playing with four different teams and having over 1,000 yards receiving. So, that'll be interesting how that's going to play itself out.
I'm seeing Cooks is a two-year deal, $13 million. I don't have anything though on the guaranteed money part.
Yeah, so that's you have to look at what would salary cap implications and, how would that affect that?
What you got, Charlie?
$7.75 million guaranteed over that two-year contract, guys.
Well,
it's a significant investment.
But if they really want to go with Mason Tipton, they can eat that money. I mean, I don't know. I'm not running the team, but Brandon Cooks is an old guy. I mean, he's still producing and he's a pro. But I think we need to
and
get
a vet
young
for that room, though.
We need to get young and not older. No, Chris Olave is enough a vet, and Rashid and all where they at now, I think.
But is he going to be that alpha dog leader of the group? I think Cooks is that outspoken voice.
Yeah, sometimes negative. That's why Sean Payton got rid of him, remember?
Closed mouths don't get fed.
Yeah, and then before you
but
know
he's
it,
mature too.
Yeah, no, he's a lot better now, you know. Even did promos with him at Rouse's, you know, but let Cooks cook or something like that, some promo, if I can remember. But, yeah, Steve, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, they know what they're thinking. I know they wanted a big body receiver, and they got that.
Yeah, it'll be like I said, the Saints wide receiver depth chart now, especially with the 53-man roster approaching on Tuesday by 3 p.m., you're going to have to be trimmed down to the 53. Who's going to end up being the active roster guys? Not talking about practice squad.
Right.
Who's going to make this 53-man roster in the wide receiver room?
Yeah. That I would say just by because of this trade,
figure he's in.
Is he three or four, you know?
Right.
What approach would they take then? And I think they're going to expect him to contribute the first game against the Cardinals. You know, like I was saying, not – Well, and all the playbooks like second nature to me because you know they implement the playbook like okay this is our second times we've gone over the plays. You know how you start OTAs in the off season when they're training and then minicamp and then you install it again the beginning of training camp. Well, and it's not like we can't just go down and out and catch the ball. Yes, but how your terminology when you hear the. What a play means as far as the verbiage of that and your alignment and all that. I think he'll get that and they'll have something for him. He might be like all of a sudden we want you to really be available like third down plays, you know, down in distance and red zone.
I was gonna say,
big
third
target.
Down in red zone,
yeah.
Right.
So, they're going to ease him into it. But, no, they probably expected him to play from the get-go.
I mentioned, you know, the big body guy that was on the roster currently, Juwan Johnson. You know, lots of things are expected from him, not to be just because of Kellen Moore's usage of tight ends, but he got paid pretty well, handsomely, this offseason as well.
Yeah, I think Juwan Johnson was like, out of all the tight ends in the league, I think he's like 14th highest paid tight end. So, they expected big things from him. And when you look at it, you know, and Mike didn't chuckle, but he kind of said, well, that's a lot of catches. When I said, I could see the quarterbacks because how they trust Juwan Johnson, how they just targeting him and they're throwing the ball at him. to have a number of opportunities. And Mike, you know, was telling me, well, 80 catches. I said, I can see him having 80 catches, even though you have these other receivers, just because the comfort level of the receivers and you know, his body makeup and the big target that he is. And why, that, now I'm not saying he's McBride. You look, for instance, the first team we're going to play in the Cardinals, and you look at that production at tight end. I mean, that's about as good as it gets when you look at Trey McBride. I didn't realize he did this well, Charlie and Steve. He had 111 catches. You know, anyway, if you near 100, like 111 catches.
What was crazy is those
1,146 yards.
Not many touchdowns from him, though, but yeah, he got a ton of receptions.
Move those chains. Yeah, he had only two touchdowns. You know, Juwan Johnson, one thing, he is a touchdown maker. You know, Juwan's one of, since he's coming to the league, he's been amongst the best in tight ends as far as touchdown catching. Now we just need him to contribute like 3 or 4 months. Not just, outstanding month and then go away. So, Juwan Johnson, whether we got this big target receiver or not, to me, that's not going to affect. Nothing wrong with having two big targets. Now you want guys that can run and all that. Yeah, you just need more weapons. So
And looking with Valet, too, he had three touchdowns last year and all three of them came in the red zone.
Yeah, so that they would expect, okay, here's the red zone sequences, the packages we're going to have. This is what we're expecting you to do and contribute, you know, from the get-go. And he'll get that down. He'll have that.
Yeah, that I wish he could be in action for Saturday's game, but it's too quick of a turnaround, I think, to get any kind of comfort into the Saints, you know, Kellen Moore's offense.
I don't know. They might have something in the red zone, and I don't know if the fans would cheer for him if he went in the game. Because what's his number? Do we know his number yet? We don't know anything.
No, yeah. We don't. Yeah, we just know happened.
It just happened. So, that's a quick turnaround to say that he would contribute on Saturday at 12 noon. You know, but they might just throw him a bone. Go out there and, you know, if they're playing bump and run, you run a fade or. Depending on like a back shoulder, let's throw your back shoulder like Colston. No, you got to deliver it and be accurate. Or, and if they're off, run a hitch. And then yards after the catch, whatever. So they might give him something on Saturday.
Devon Valet, welcome to the Saints. Looking forward to seeing where this now, like I said, how the wide receiver depth chart shakes out for this black and gold bunch. And trying to see what number did he wear when he was with the Broncos. Number 17.
Oh, that's Colston. That's Sean Payton might have given him that number. Maybe that's why he reminded.
Colston was 12.
12, that's right. Who else taking 17? No, it's Meacham. Meacham was 12. No, Colston was 12. I mean, Colston was 12, Meacham was 17.
Right, there you go.
Yeah. So, hey, all I know is that we've been, I think even before the draft and everything, Harbor and all, we need a big receiver. So
finally got one.
So, yeah, so Mickey went out. And got a big receiver for the quarterbacks and Kellen Moore. Now, what kind of difference maker will he be? At least they doing something. About, now, the question is going to be, he's going to have to produce our, what is everybody going to say? Oh, Mickey gave up too much. Sean took him to the cleanest.
Well, that's already, funny.
Is that what's out there right now?
Our Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak already tweeted, you know, everybody complaining, Saints need a big body wide receiver. Okay, Saints go get a big body wide receiver. Why did they do that?
Mickey gave up too much. I mean, you can't win for losing. You know how that is. Whether you look at it positive or negative, glass half full, half empty. No, we got a big body receiver. Let it play itself out. Everybody's so quick to judging. I'm like, he's not. Sean would, and I agree with this, though. I don't think Sean would have let him go if he thought he was Marcus Colston. I think that might have just been Sean building him up.
In the post-game press conference on Saturday, we can ask Sean about Valet. Someone will in the media room.
Yeah, no, I'm sure Sean will talk him up. Well, you know, we had the numbers game.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And we think he has a bright future. You know, so we just wanted to get something for him, kind of. That's what might end up. That's what I think Sean would say. He wouldn't say, "Boy, I'm sure glad Mickey took him." No, he was the most, the most productive receiver as far as success rate. I just read that, you know, like 65%. And I was like, look at all the third down conversions he had. And that's a good thing to move the chains, like first down, Saints. And we're moving the chains because we have not been good on third down this preseason. A lot of times it is the big target, you know. You know, who's winning one-on-one? So, I don't know. I'm going to say right now that, I don't know his numbers, but it's going to look like, oh, that was the right trade. You know, like, oh, boy, why did we trade for him? I don't think it would be that. It would be one of those.
Going to check in our Bobby on our WWL talk and text line right now. You can sound off to 504-260-1870. We've got Patrick in Houston. What's going on, Patrick? What you got for us tonight?
What's going on, guys? Happy belated birthday to the one and only Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and the great Morton Anderson as well. Two Saints legends. Today is actually Congressman Ron Paul's 90th birthday from just south of where I am in Lake Jackson, Texas. But anyway, Bobby, I wanted to call about just what we're looking at of this team this coming season. You know, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first time.
Now, you're talking about record, Patrick, or what are you talking about? Like,
I'm talking about record. I really think the bottom's going to fall out. I'm thinking 2-15 or 3-14. I think we're looking at the Mike Ditka era again. You know, when we had the Billy Joes and Danny Werfel.
No, Patrick, there's a lot of people that have that opinion. Well, if I can recall, Steve or Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
around the draft, Patrick, you know, like Vegas, they kind of, they pretty much, they're not 100%, they're on top of things. So when they had the win total of the Saints, 5.5.
Correct.
Okay. I would say, no, I think looking at the schedule, you know, and all that, you know, I think that they can win 6 or 7 games.
I was definitely confident in an over to begin with.
Yeah, so that's not a winning season. I mean, nothing to write home about, but you could be trending in the right direction. Let's say you 7-10. That's still a losing season, but it's 2 more wins than you did last year. Then the more I was watching practice, then I was like, instead of 6-7 wins, I was more like 5-6 wins. This is before Vegas came out with this new number.
I feel you.
5 or 6 wins. I said, it could be the same song and dance like last year, Patrick. They, you know, win 5 games again. That's why I told the fans, you got to be patient. And then I think just recently, maybe as of last week, that Vegas comes out with like the over and under for the Saints is now 4.5. Or you take the under and over, and people are thinking like, they might not win as many games as they did last year. It might be a 4-win season. So, you know, they always ask the media, Patrick, where they maybe I'm a little more optimistic than you, but what is that saying? You're saying 2 or 3 wins? I'm saying it might be the same song and dance. We have the same record as last year. But you know what? You could be positive. You have to look how it plays out and what actually occurs on the field. I think our defense will be better. So let's say it has to be, and I think it will be. Let's say our defense, and I brought this up, one difference like with Sean Payton and all, look, scoring offense, scoring defense. If our scoring defense, so let's say we only win 5 games, but we only giving up like 18.5, 19 points a game, I'd be like, come on, Kellen, you got to get the offense going. Shame on that. If our defense is playing that and keeping us in games and you're giving up 18.5, 19 points, well, that's how you eventually get to double-digit wins.
I'll play devil's advocate. Go, what if they're out there so long that they're getting gassed?
Yeah, no, but I'm still, bend but don't break, whatever. Force field goals, don't give up. That's one reason why Denver won 10 games last year. They gave up 18.3 points a game, and that was like the third best amongst the best. So we've had those type defenses. I think that's what it would take. So, Patrick, I don't know. I'm not going to say, oh, you crazy. What are you talking about? Are we going to win more than 2 or 3 games? I don't know. Our people around the nation, they think we might be 32 out of 32. That is not the Houdan Nation. We're trying to be optimistic, but I'm looking at, okay, if we're not 32, what are we, 28 out of 32 teams? I'm telling you, Patrick, I'm saying this. If we could double our win total 5-10, we need to have a damn parade.
Right.
Just, I mean,
right now,
Coach
for me,
Kellen Moore would be the coach of the year if that would happen.
My biggest concern isn't even the quarterback right now, Bobby. It's the interior of the O-line.
Amen. I'm telling you right now, they need to hold their feet to the fire. It's not like, oh, Alvin Kamara's getting old, they can't run no more. All the quarterbacks, they suck. They're not. What? The offensive line has to block for the quarterbacks, whoever it is, or the running backs. No, that's the one. That's why I went down, because I think this has to be a strength, from seven to six games, six to five, around there. It's because the offensive line.
You went down like Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. I'm and then watch it against the Rams. Right. You know, just watch it, practice it now. And I mean, you have to belt at times, run up the middle. You can't go backwards. So look at the first time Shuck's in the game. He's in the dome trying to make his debut. All of a sudden, ground out. Look what happens. It's third and 30. I don't think there's any plays in the NFL you can convert third and 30.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. Be back with more right after this. Stay tuned for Triple Option right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, now going to get into our Triple Option feature. We break down some of the top stories in sports today and give our opinions. Cajun Cannon, I know you've been dying to rattle off something.
Yeah, well, we were going to do this yesterday, then I got caught up, I don't know, with somebody's birthday. Who's that? Yeah, I wanted to talk about this because, I don't know, this guy, either people love him or they hate him. But I know Auburn Tiger fans love him. I never have witnessed all the college football, you know, all the football you watch, of an individual player have more impact on winning a national championship than this cat, and that is Cam Newton.
Can't argue with you.
Gene Chizik, look, when Cam Newton was not there, did he just fall off a cliff?
He got into being an analyst.
And he was gone.
Right.
I mean, Cam Newton was that dominant. Now, before he went to Auburn, it was a flash in the pan. He was at Blinn Junior College, won the Junior College National Championship. Then he goes to Auburn.
Oh.
Then he go from the outhouse to the penthouse, then back to the outhouse when Cam Newton was not there. But finally, I thought they would have done this by now. But Auburn's going to retire 2010 Heisman Trophy winner Cam Newton's number two jersey this fall, making him the fourth player in program history to receive the honor. The ceremony will take place during Auburn's, and that's a good thing because, you know, I think this might be the longest rivalry in college football, Auburn and Georgia. I don't know. I think I'm correct with that statement. But that's when they're going to have it. Auburn's home game against rival Georgia Bulldogs, October 11th. They're going to do it, you know, trying to get the Auburn Tigers fired up for
them. They need some good news, right?
Yeah. Newton's going to join. Now, I remember this back when I was like in seventh grade and all, because I remember Burke Jones and Andy Hamilton with LSU. Versus, you know, Auburn had a Heisman Trophy winner there when I was like 10, 11, 12, and it was Pat Sullivan. Who? Pat Sullivan. People say, who's that? Well, Newton will join Pat Sullivan. He's number seven. He ended up going to the Falcons. He didn't do nothing in the pros. He was just, you know, good college player. But he used to throw, I remember they had a receiver like Andy, Burt Jones throwing to Andy Hamilton. Terry Beasley, number 88. As former Tiger football players whose numbers are formally retired, the jerseys of Sullivan and Beasley retired following Sullivan's 1971 Heisman Trophy season. And Jackson's number, now, Bo Jackson, I think he's the best of the best. When you look at a major league player football, I mean, Herschel Walker was unbelievable and great, but he wasn't Bo Jackson. I mean, Bo Jackson, today, it's a shame how he got hurt with his hip in that Bengals game for the Raiders. But Bo Jackson's number was retired as part of Auburn's football centennial celebration. You know, whenever he hit that century mark, 1992, they retired Bo Jackson's number at Auburn. But no one has worn the number two jersey at Auburn since Cam Newton and the Tigers beat Oregon in the bowl championship series. You know, you didn't have all these teams in the playoff. You remember how it is now, but in the bowl championship series, they beat the Oregon Ducks for the national title game in that 2010 season. And I'm telling you, Cam Newton at times, he was a man amongst boys. He took Carolina to Super Bowl, and you remember, he thought for sure they were going to beat the Broncos. And, man, they were tattooed. They were still hitting
then
the quarterback.
Pass rush came.
Yeah. And but a lot of people don't like Cam Newton, but listen, all I know is Cam Newton was dominant at Auburn and winning that national championship. So good for it's about time they retired his number two jersey.
Charlie, what you got for us on the triple option table today?
You know, Bobby had brought up the over-under win totals, guys, and I went and looked it up and did some searching on it. BetMGM has all the numbers, top to bottom, all 32 NFL teams. And they do have, in fact, the Saints at 4.5. And just above them at 5.5, there's three separate teams. You're talking about the Giants, the Browns, and the Titans. And then it kind of gets more loaded towards the middle with teams over under 6.5, teams over under 7.5, and then you go up and up and up. But the Saints are the only team, once again, via BetMGM, that have a over-under win total for the 2025 season set at 4.5, guys.
Now, Charlie, was I correct with that? Because I remember around the draft, because we looked at the over-under was 5.5.
It was 5.5 initially. It is now dropped down to 4.5.
So does that mean the betting public, that they all take in the under?
Yes.
We got to move this. We got to put that at 4.5.
Right. That's typically what will happen is that when a lot of folks are, you know, falling onto one side, they may move it up, they may adjust it down. And in the Saints' case, as you had mentioned, it started off at 5.5. It has now moved down to 4.5. And once again, via this sports book, they are the only team listed at 4.5. There are three other teams at 5.5, and then it goes up from there.
Go ahead.
No, when you say that's what I was saying, if you look at all the expectation we're getting, like Rodney Dangerfield, no respect from a national perspective. So Kellen Moore.
Shock the world.
If we would go, remember like Sean Payton? We went from 3-13 to 10-6. Well, last year we won 5 games. This, you know, post Katrina. Now we had Drew Brees on, but I'm just saying we were 10-6. So I'm telling you, there's no way Kellen Moore couldn't be coach. I don't know how they couldn't vote for him coach of the year. If we went from 5 wins to 10 wins, Kellen Moore should already get an extension. I don't know. I mean, to me, that's how I think improbable this would occur. To win twice as many games as won last year.
For me, guys, I wanted to bring up Tyson Badgett, Bears quarterback, signing a 2-year, $10 million extension today, considered to be one of the biggest NFL stories of the day, but it's historic in nature. According to The Athletic, he's the first Bears quarterback to sign a contract extension since Jay Cutler did it in 2014. He also got really emotional at his press conference, and this stood out to me. Surprising to hear that Badgett said that his dad is his right-hand man, and he didn't even have any running water until he was in high school.
Well,
unbelievable. He's a millionaire.
That's no prima donna there. That's humble. That's a humble background, and for him to get that contract, no, he knows he hit the lottery in life and football. And you know one reason why he got that extension? Who likes him, Steve? What did I tell you earlier?
That new head coach.
Yep, Ben Johnson.
Right.
He says, no. He said, I heard him in an interview. Maybe he's trying to light a fire under Caleb. And he was talking about needing more consistency from Caleb like he was getting from Badgett.
There you go.
I mean, so we'll see.
That's our triple option feature, folks. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Closing out this hour of Sports Talk, we'll be back with another hour. And we got Kyle Fredrickson, Broncos beat writer for the Denver Gazette. We're going to talk about the game on Saturday, but now we get to talk about the new wide receiver coming to the back, black and gold, Devon Valet, who the Saints traded for with Denver. So stay tuned after the top of the hour news break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Who dat, folks?